Barbie's dream. Inside the citadel of the cuckoo. The land.
What? This can't be right.
Still wearing her tattered princess party dress, the chain with the gemstone that is the porpentine around her neck, Barbie enters the low building. She has been freed of her manacles by the Black Guard, who wait outside with the former ally who betrayed her, Luz the Dodo.
Makes no sense.
Barbie has been brought here to meet the shadowy character who is her nemesis in this dream place, the land. Here, Barbie is Princess Barbara, and now she must face the cuckoo, whatever that is.
Huh?
This exotic, medieval-looking town is where the cuckoo's citadel lies. But the citadel itself is nothing like the palace Barbie expected. She is standing in the hallway of a very ordinary, very familiar, single-story Florida house.
Wow.
She stops by a fish, a bass, stuffed and mounted on a plaque on the wall.
Third prize, 1967 bass fishing tournament. Papa was so proud of this little fish. It was the only thing he ever won a prize for. And this will be the living room. Huh.
The living room has a big picture window set in the far wall with a view of the sea. The room has a sofa, a couple of easy chairs, a big old 60s TV set, and a framed print of The Green Lady by Tretyakov on one wall. Barbie is wide-eyed and a little stunned.
This isn't any citadel of the cuckoo. This is where I grew up. This is our old house. It's just like I remember it, only smaller. And the brightly shining sea isn't just any brightly shining sea. That's the Atlantic Ocean. Early in the morning, after the sun's burned the cloud away and before it's risen too high in the sky, at the moment when the sunlight turns the sea to silver. Dappled, glinting, magical silver. As if the light wasn't reflected. Rather, as if the sea shone with its own wonderful light, glittering and sparkling like liquid diamonds. When I was a little girl, I used to run down the sand and into the sea. And I tried to pick up the shining silver water. I cut my hands and catch it, but it always turned back into dirty, gray-green seawater.
Huh? Well, that's what makes the brightly shining sea. It stays liquid diamonds when you pick it up.
The small girl is about 8 years old, with long blonde pigtails and freckles. She's got patent leather shoes on and a friendly sort of smile. She's missing a tooth.
And it doesn't taste salty either. It tastes kind of like grape juice.
You were reading my mind?
No, I just knew what you were thinking. It wasn't that hard.
I know you.
Of course you do, silly.
Who are you?
I'll give you a clue. The scar on your knee. You told the kids next door that you could fly, and they didn't believe you, and you...
I've been lying so hard, I convinced myself I was telling them the truth. I jumped off the roof. Needed 2 stitches. Yes, I remember.
Look, same me.
The same cut. The same stitches.
Uh-huh.
You're me.
Not quite. I'm part of you. Sort of. You created me. Kind of. I'm the cuckoo.
The Sandman, Act 2, Episode 16. A Game of You, Over the Sea to Sky.
Cuckoo. But you made them kill Wilkinson. You were the one that did all those things. It's because of you Martin Tenbones is dead.
Because of us, Princess Barbara. Because of us. Like I said, I'm almost you.
What is this? Some kind of moment of revelation? Like in the books? Is this where I find out I was abused as a child and I've been blocking it all these years? Is that what you are?
You weren't abused as a child, Barbara. Your childhood was dull, quiet, and boring. You had two dull parents and a dull house and an overactive imagination. That worried your parents. You'd make up stories, seek out books of witches and ghosts. Things that just weren't true. They couldn't understand where this fascination of yours for the fantastic came from. And it scared them. So you began to defend yourself. Follow me. Boys and girls are different, you know that?
I know that. So?
Little boys have fantasies in which they're faster, or smarter, or able to fly. Where they hide their faces in secret identities, and listen to the people who despise them admiring their remarkable deeds. Pathetic, spectacled, rejected Perry Porter is secretly the amazing spider. Gawky, bespectacled, unloved Clint Clark is really Hyperman, yes?
What has this got to do with...
Shh! Now, little girls, on the other hand, have different fantasies. Much less convoluted. Their parents are not their parents. Their lives are not their lives. They are princesses. Lost princesses from distant lands. And one day the king and queen, their real parents, will take them back to their land, and then they'll be happy forever and ever, little cuckoos.
Did I dream that? I don't remember.
Sure you did. You made up a magic land, and you populated it with your toys.
Toys?
Yeah. They're all in here, in the shrine. Come on in.
The cuckoo leads Barbie through a familiar door. It bears a wooden plaque held by two teddy bears saying, Barbara's room.
This is my bedroom.
That's right.
It's a cute bedroom, circa late 60s. The cuckoo runs in and climbs onto the small child's bed. Barbie looks around.
Was everything really so frilly?
There are five toys on the bed. The cuckoo points to each in turn.
This is Martin Tenbones. Here's Wilkinson, and here's Luz. Here's Pranado.
The stuffed dog could be a little Martin Tenbones. The funny rodent with a long pointy nose could be Wilkinson, but without the trench coat. The big stuffed dodo is Luz. And a little wind-up monkey in a red jacket and hat, holding a pair of cymbals, looks just like Pranado.
Here's you!
The cuckoo holds up a late 60s Barbie doll. It wears a little princess party dress and a tinsel crown.
Toys? My toys? I'd forgotten them.
No, you hadn't. Not deep down. And they never forgot you.
Is this real? Or is it just my imagination?
If you tell me what the difference is, I might be able to tell you.
I need a drink of water.
Let's get one. You remember where the kitchen is. Well, you left yourself wide open for me, really. I mean, really. It's a little like possession, only I didn't bother with your body.
The kitchen is mostly stainless steel and chrome. There's a photo up on the wall of a middle-aged couple, Barbie's mum and dad, with little Barbie holding her Barbie doll. The cuckoo sits on the countertop, swinging her legs.
I moved into your dream world, into those parts of your life you weren't using. You were everything I needed. I'm your imaginary fiend. So, Barbie, now that I've explained it to you, it all makes perfect sense, doesn't it?
Sure.
Now, think carefully, because this is a big thing I'm asking you. Do you like me?
Mm-hmm.
And I've got a right to live, haven't I? And to be happy?
Of course you have.
And I'm awful sweet, aren't I? I'm awful cute.
You're... cute as a button.
Aww, look at you, sitting on the floor with your legs stuck out like a broken doll.
Ugh.
Barbie, you wouldn't mind it if I had to kill you. I mean, completely destroy you. I need to. And it would make me really happy.
Sure.
Oh, good. You may have a kiss.
Outside the middle-class Florida 1960s townhouse, dumped in the middle of a fairy tale medieval city, the Black Guard wait. Tall, faceless warriors dressed in ornamented black obsidian armor, holding spears. In front of them, Luz the Dodo paces anxiously. The front door opens, and the cuckoo walks up the driveway.
Everything's fine. It was easy. Guard, I want Princess Barbara taken down to the Isle of Thorns. We start at moonrise.
New York City, 4 a.m. Down on one of the old wharves, waves are crashing in from an East River which has been whipped into a frenzy. The moon is setting peacefully now, but it has had a disturbed night.
This is Barbara Wong with you until dawn with music, phonin', news. This time in the morning, I do everything around here, including make the coffee. You out there? Hear from you if you are. Talking about coffee. I'm going to pour me a cup while I wait for the lights on this phone to start flashing. Be back right after this message.
Hey, Bill.
Yeah, Jerry?
You got any Q-tips on you?
Nope, Jerry.
But what's that? Isn't that a pack of Q-tips?
Nah, but I... It's Wonderbuds from the makers of Wonderwool.
Wow.
Wonderbuds are sterile, all-American, and for only 99 cents a pack. New Wonderbuds in fresh mint cinnamon and new salsa flavors.
I'll never use unflavored Q-tips again, Bill.
Not Q-tips, Jerry. Wonderbuds.
Barbara Wong, WRAT New York, 3:47 a.m., and you're on the line, caller.
Yeah, Barbara, I'm down on the Lower East Side, and I'm calling to say that I don't know what the hay's going on down here, but we got waves like you wouldn't believe.
And what's your name, caller?
Jim Morrison, not the famous one.
Hey, wouldn't that show if you were? So, what's your point, Jim?
I think maybe it's that hurricane they was talking about on the news. I think it's maybe heading back this way.
Well, Mr. Jim, and not the famous dead one, Morrison. Don't you think that if there were even the... So we're heading back this way. The meteorologist, that's weather forecasters on our listeners from New Jersey, would have warned us. No chance. But thanks for calling. I'm on WRAT.
WRAT.
In the sky above, beyond the weather, beyond the atmosphere, beyond our reality, hangs a full moon. The night is full of stars. Imagine a lake suspended in this starscape with the moonlight reflected in it so that it forms a silvery road. Down that road walk three women. Thessaly is in the lead, still wearing a bathrobe over her Victorian nightgown with her fluffy bunny slippers. Foxglove is in her ratty old bathrobe, bare feet, with nothing underneath. Hazel wears her pajamas. Each of them is slightly transparent, visible through the other two. Identity blurs on the moon's road.
I am Hazel McNamara.
I am Thessaly.
I am Donna Kavanagh.
Each of them looks blank and yet quizzical. They are surrounded by darkness and stars, with the pale circle of the moon above and this rippling path of pure light beneath them.
I am Foxglove.
I am Johnny McNamara's big sister.
I am a witch woman of the lowlands.
I am Judy's ex-lover.
I am.
Each of them raises a hand to her face at the same moment, the same gesture, It's as if they have become one person with three bodies.
In the pale light of the moon, I play the game of you.
Whoever I am.
Whoever you are.
As they walk onward, they fade away from view, and the moon's road disappears into darkness.
All sense of where I am, of who I am, and where I'm going has been swallowed by the dark.
And I walk through the stars and sky.
A trinity of dreams beneath the moon.
Ahead of where they were walking is the faintest outline of a cliff top, and the sea appearing as a kind of ghost image. After another step, it becomes real.
Where am I?
Where are we?
It's late afternoon in the land. A stunned-looking Hazel Foxglove and a less stunned-looking Thessaly are looking down from the same clifftop as Barbie, Luz, and Wilkinson were. And first they saw the brightly shining sea. The sun is getting low in the sky.
We are...
Thessaly crouches, feeling the ground with her hand.
We are. We are in a dream. An old dream, I'd say. It's very solid.
We're in Barbie's dream?
I suppose. It's much older than Barbie, though. My guess is that it's somewhere she comes to dream. But I doubt she created it.
How do you know all this stuff, Thessaly?
I'm older than I look, Foxglove. You pick stuff up as you go along, you know?
Yeah? How old are you, Thessaly?
I'm really pretty old. Let's leave it there, huh?
So, well, now we're here. We better start looking for Barbie.
The cuckoo. We find the cuckoo.
But Barbie...
Barbie didn't try to hurt me, Hazel. The cuckoo did. I'm here to find the cuckoo.
Well, there's a path over there, past those bushes, leading down the cliff.
Isn't it steep?
Doesn't look too bad, Fox.
Let's take it. I'm sure we'll run into Barbie along the way. That's how these things usually seem to work out. But I'm looking for the cuckoo. It needs to be taught a lesson.
But Thessaly...
We don't need to know where we're going. This is a dream world, Foxglove. It has its own laws, its own logic. It needs to bring us together.
Uh-oh.
But there's something else.
Hazel, what's the matter?
What is it?
In the bushes.
Shit! What is that?
It's a body. Some sort of giant rat. In, raincoat?
It's not been dead long. Good.
Good?
It can give us directions.
You aren't gonna cut its face off, are you?
No, no need. But I'll need some pebbles.
Pebbles?
Mm-hmm. Roundish ones.
Okay, there are plenty of those.
Half a dozen will do. I just need to make a circle on the grass by the rat's head. There. Now we need a little blood. Don't worry, it'll be mine.
Thessaly takes a penknife from her bathrobe pocket, opens it, and slices into her forefinger. Blood trickles down from her fingertip, making a thin puddle.
Fox, the reflection.
No shit.
Hello?
Now the pebbles surround a little red pool. From within it, Wilkinson the rat's face looks up out at them.
I'm dead. Bugger off.
What was your name?
I don't need to tell you that. I don't need to tell you anything. I'm dead. Just leave me alone.
Your name?
Wilkinson.
Where is the cuckoo, Wilkinson?
She's down there. That's where her palace is, in the city.
Excuse me, Mr. Wilkinson. Do you know where Barbie is?
Barbie? I failed her. I failed her. I did everything I could.
Where is she?
The cuckoo took her. Tell her Wilkinson said sorry. Now leave me be.
Yes, you can go. Down the cliff path.
What a sweet little guy. Lots nicer than George.
What do you know about cuckoos?
They're birds.
That's all?
Yeah.
Some cuckoos lay their eggs in other birds' nests.
So?
They just do. That's all.
Hayes,
You are pregnant, aren't you?
Well, I haven't done a test or anything. I mean, I didn't get around to it yet. Not that I'm worried about killing rabbits, because you don't have to do that anymore.
Hazel, shut the hell up.
Sorry.
Shithead. Hazel, if we ever get home again, I'm going to, I don't know, scream at you, throw things across the room. I'm going to call you names you never even knew I knew.
I'm sorry.
What kind of relationship did we have, for Christ's sakes? You're dumb. You know that. Dumb and selfish and deceitful and secretive and dumb.
Come on, you two.
Oh, shit. Do you know how much a baby's going to cost us? For a start, we have to buy one of those dumb books full of names.
Fox.
Hold my hand.
Fox, I do love you.
Damn straight you do, jerk.
Barbie's sleeping self lies on the sofa in their upstairs neighbor George's room. On her gently rising and falling breast lies the porpentine, its pink glow suffusing the tiny apartment.
Listen to that wind. I wouldn't want to be outside on a night like this. Barbie, Han, this is the kind of night that needs a roaring log fire, a leopard skin rug, a bottle of fine brandy, and, I don't know, Rutger Hauer, maybe? And the third Velvet Underground album playing in the background. Instead, I've got a severed face and Sleeping Beauty for company.
Wanda is talking to the face of George, nailed to the wall. Drying blood and matter runs down from it. The tongue begins to move.
Miss Wanda, I think Miss Barbara's having some difficulties.
Yeah, George? Like what?
I don't know, but the light of the stone was flickering.
So what does that mean?
I wish I knew.
Come on, Princess Barbie. Hang in there. Come on, Bubala. I've lost too many friends in the last few years. Not you. Come on, Princess. Jesus H. Christ, listen to that wind. I haven't heard anything like that since I was a little kid. What the hell was that?
I came from outside.
Damn, I can't see. There's a person down there. I think she's hurt.
Crazy to be outside in this weather.
It's an old lady. A big garbage can blew over onto her.
That homeless woman. She belongs in the trash.
Shut up, George. Hey, lady. Are you okay?
Help me.
I've got to do something. George, keep an eye on Barbie.
Very funny, I don't think.
Wanda, seriously?
Wanda gets to the apartment block's front hallway and realizes she's only wearing a t-shirt and panties. Some coats hang on the wall. She grabs the nearest.
Ugh, whatever. Shit! Oh well.
Darn garbage. Can't move!
Let me get this off you. Hey, are you okay?
Oh, I twisted my leg when I fell. Hurt.
Nuts. You better come with me. Let me help you up. Okay. Easy now.
I got garbage all over me. Sticking garbage. All over me.
Well, let's just get you out of the wind until we can get you to a doctor, okay? Now, careful. Up these stairs. Lean into the wind, okay? Or else we'll both blow over. That's right. In we come. You got this. Good. Look. Maybe I should leave you here. It'll be really tough on you going upstairs if your leg is hurt.
Still call, lady. You're the good Samaritan.
This is a city of crazies, you know that? Oh, come on then. Jesus, you really do stink. I'd let you use George's shower, but there's a corpse in the bathtub with his face cut off. Oh, I don't believe I just said that.
Oh, that mean wind out there. It's only just begun. You know that. It's just gonna get worse.
The cuckoo drags the unconscious Barbie along the narrow strand of beach leading out into the brightly shining sea. Leafless thorn bushes grow at the water's edge.
She's heavy.
You could stop and rest a moment.
Yes. Well, Lutz, not much longer now.
No, my lady.
Does that make you happy?
Very happy, my lady.
Because you want to protect me. You want to help me. You want to make me happy.
Yes, lady.
It's time for me to fly the nest. Everyone has to grow up sometime. I'll miss this land. I really will. It's a nice place.
We'll miss you too, lady.
Will you? Lutz, that's sweet. Especially since you spent the last half dozen years plotting my downfall.
I was misguided, lady.
Of course you were. And it just took a little talk to show you the error of your ways. Right. Must keep going. Indeed, a bird will brood the foster chick whilst her own infants lie slowly dying outside the nest. She never understood. She kept trying to tell herself the truth, and she never listened. They divide themselves up into such complex puzzles, little bird. She was the perfect environment to grow in. But we cannot be children forever.
The sun has almost set now, and dusk is falling. At the end of the narrow causeway, pushing out into the sea, is a wide mound of compacted sand, like an island. Upon it, a huge polished onyx slab sticks up at an angle. A set of runes, the hierogram, is carved into the stone. The cuckoo drags Barbie's inert form to the mound, laying it in front of the slab.
All good things must end, and here's where they stop. In the Isle of Thorns, at the place of the hierogram. At moonrise, very, very soon.
And this stone, with these shapes in it, this is the hierogram?
Did you ever meet the hieromancer, Luz?
No, lady.
Sweet old guy. I think Barbie may have based him on her grandfather when she populated the land. He understood the hierogram. It's older than Barbie. Much older. It's old as the land.
Oh.
There must be hundreds of these lands, little bird. Thousands of them. An archipelago of dream islands. A glittering shoal of worlds. Come on. Come on. Set, damn you.
The cuckoo stares at the sun, its upper edge just visible above the horizon. Luz watches it too. They do not see the three distant figures approaching from the beach.
Little Barbie found the land she needed, and the land found someone to believe in it. And then I had to come along and spoil everything. That's what the hieromancer claimed when I put him to the question. But it's not important what the land is, only how to leave it. I'm ready to leave the nest. You don't know what it's like to be physically confined to one tiny place when there are so many other places I could be. There are real worlds out there. Little ones like the one Barbie inhabits when she's awake, and huge, marvelous worlds beyond them. I'm constricted here, Luz. I need to fly. Ugh! But I'm stuck here until the end of this world. In a way, I'm pleased that the George and the Sendings failed so miserably. It'll be so much more satisfying to destroy the Porpentine myself. And this is the place to do it. The Hieromancer knew. Knew a little. And he told me everything he knew before he died. Well, now it's just you and me, little bird Luz.
Murphy be praised, lady. I only live to serve you.
Yes, you do. And not for much longer.
My lady, we have guests.
Thessaly! Thessaly, are you sure this is the right place? Thessaly!
I'm sure.
Help! Please, help me! Oh, I'm so pleased you're here. It's terrible. The cuckoo's got Princess Barbie.
What?
Look! They're over there. It said it wanted to kill us. Please help me. Save the princess.
It's that weird green bird.
Out of my way, little girl. So you're the cuckoo, then?
Yes.
Come here.
Thessaly, why did you do that? Just kill her like that?
She needed to be taught a lesson.
But you just killed her.
Yes, that was the lesson. You don't get a second chance. Anyway, if she was the kind of thing I think she was, you don't want to talk to them or let them talk to you.
Really?
Just a few seconds is all they need.
You're very clever. You really are. You're a very clever lady. But that's all the killing you're gonna do, isn't it?
Yes.
You okay, Thessaly? I feel weird.
Me too, Hayes. Ugh.
The three women stand, arms hanging, blank-eyed and stupefied. The cuckoo drops the little girl pose. She folds her arms and stares up at Thessaly, looking puzzled.
What kind of thing are you? I've met the folk of the land and a few people like George who traveled here in their dreams, and people from Barbie's memories. You don't fit.
No.
No matter. You people are so wonderful, so joyous and strange. You have secret worlds inside you. Is it that way with all of you? I think you three should sit down now and not make any more noise.
Yeah,
sure.
Okay.
That's better. You all stay there. Barbie, it's moonrise. It's time for you to wake up now. Come on.
Where am I?
This is the Isle of Thorns.
This is where I had to come with the Porpentine, isn't it?
That's right. The Hierogram and the Porpentine were left as tokens, I think, many, many years ago. While they exist, the land still lives. The destruction of either of them signals the death of the land. The destruction of both ensures it. And then I get to leave the nest, and then I get to fly.
You get to fly. Get to fly.
New York City, George's apartment. Wanda and the homeless woman have made it up to the top floor.
There. You should sit, if you can find anywhere.
Maisie Hill sits herself on the arm of the sofa next to the sleeping Barbie, still lost in dreams. She sees George's face, nailed to the wall.
This is bad stuff. Who do stuff? You do this stuff?
No.
That's good.
This is George. This is his apartment. He talks.
I don't talk to no dead people. It's bad luck.
And this is Barbie. She's sleeping.
Oh, yeah. I know her. She gave me 50 cents on the subway this morning, but I dropped it.
Jesus, you're the I don't like dogs lady.
Don't you go taking the Lord's name in vain. My name is Maisie Hill. Maisie, for my friends.
I'm Wanda.
So what are you? A guy or a girl?
I'm Wanda.
You know, my grandson Billy was like you. Oh, he was a cute little thing. Sashay round, sweet as anything. He was saving up for surgery. His ma used to say he was the daughter she never had.
I wish my mom had said that. She said I was the spawn of the devil.
That's dumb.
Just because someone's different don't make them bad.
So, why don't you like dogs?
I just don't. That's all.
In Barbie's dream, the moon has now risen over the Isle of Thorns. Thessaly, Hazel, and Foxglove are seated obediently to one side of the little island, their eyes looking blankly out to sea. Near the polished slab, bearing the runes of the hierogram, a dazed-looking Barbie, in her tattered princess party dress, stands before the cuckoo.
It's time, Barbie.
Yes.
Be brave.
I'm not afraid.
Barbie reaches up slowly, taking the porpentine from around her neck. She raises it aloft and swings it on the end of its chain at the slab. The hierogram explodes in a mass of color and light. The energy burst sends a plume of bright plasma exploding into the darkness of the star-spattered night. In the fiery crystalline glare, Barbie, Thessaly, Hazel, and Foxglove stay locked in their fugue state while the cuckoo dances in delight.
I won, lolly lolly, I won! I knew I would!
Barbie looks blankly at the empty chain hanging from her hand. Overhead, a couple of shooting stars streak past.
I'm the cleverest and the prettiest, and one day I'll be the biggest. The brightest, and I'll fly into little girls' minds and lay eggs of my own there. I won! I beat you all! Lolly lolly, I can leave soon! The porpentine and the hierogram are broken! The land is over! Now it starts, and once the land's gone, lolly lolly, I fly! Out of your dreams into your lives! I'll be big and beautiful and lay hundreds of eggs in hundreds of worlds! Look, Barbie, look, you three. Isn't it wonderful? The stars are falling.
They look up. In the black sky above them, more shooting stars are streaking down and disappearing below the horizon. New York City, 4:45 a.m. The sleeping Barbie is still laid out on the grubby sofa. A thin trail of light drifts up like smoke from the porpentine, which rests upon her breast. Its pink glow becomes a bright light for an instant, and then the dreamstone vanishes completely, chain and all.
You see that?
Uh-oh.
Something not right.
In New York, the sky is black with cloud, and the rivers are whipping themselves into a fury.
That was New York's own Lou Reed with Satellite of Love.
Bringing us up to
4:05 in the morning. While it was playing, a weather flash came through
here on WRNT.
Seems I owe an early call and apology. Hurricane Lisa, that is indeed heading back this way. The flash describes the hurricane's change of direction as inexplicable. It says here, part to some perturbations in the upper atmosphere. Meteorologists
also point to a
possible high-altitude dust storm which hit the face of the moon earlier this morning. Stay home. Barbara Wong, WRAT.
W-R-A-T.
Hey, Bill.
Yeah, Jerry?
You got any Q-tips on you?
Nope, Jerry.
Viewed from the Isle of Thorns, the moon slips below the horizon as more and more stars fall, leaving the sky black and empty. One star, brighter than the others, appears not to be falling at all, but growing bigger, moving towards the cuckoo and Barbie. The star grows larger and larger until they must look away or be blinded. But then the light subsides. And when they look back, the star is framed in the eye socket of a chalk-white face under a shock of black hair. Standing before them, in a dark robe with a hem of embroidered flames, is Morpheus, the Lord of Dreams.
Time has come, then. I am here by the terms of the compact. Who summoned me? Who calls this skerry to its final judgment? Who seeks my boon?
Who are you? What are you doing here?
Morpheus crouches to speak to the cuckoo at eye level.
It's a strange question. Did you not call me, young lady? I was your land's creator.
Dream pauses, then stands and looks around him.
No, I see she did not summon me. You did.
His gaze has fallen on Barbie.
You are not entirely in control of your own mind. One moment.
Morpheus puts a finger under Barbie's chin, lifting her head so her eyes meet his. Suddenly she feels brighter, more alert.
Oh!
I trust that feels better.
Fox? Hazel? Thessaly? What are you doing here?
They cannot answer you. Let me.
He lifts his index finger, pointing it at the three women.
Hey.
There.
Excuse me. The people I met here kept talking about someone called Murphy. Is that you?
Indeed.
Morpheus. Murphy. Yes, I would have figured that out.
Barbie? Are you okay? We came to rescue you.
Hush now. I need silence from all of you while I do uncreate this land. It is an old land, and it is time for it to rest.
Morpheus walks away a little, down the narrow strand under the empty sky, his robe flapping in the wind.
I've heard the people of the land talk about Murphy before, but I never imagined he existed.
As you were made, so you are now unmade. As I was your lord from the beginning, so I have the right and the power to surrender your existence back into nothingness. No sky, no rock, no earth, no sea, no life. All is removed, reordered, replaced at my word. As you were made, so you are now unmade. As I was your lord from the beginning.
As Morpheus speaks, he seems to fill Barbie's field of vision. Nothing has changed, and yet it is as if he has become as big as the land itself. She feels that if he had been speaking to her, she would have understood. But he isn't speaking to her. Huge as he has become, he is talking to Luz.
Poor dead Luz, my little Judas.
Rise, little dream creature. Rise and behold. Enter my shadow and forget.
Barbie cannot find it in her heart to blame Luz. She too has been one of the servants of the cuckoo, feeling the overpowering need to protect and nurture her, to do anything that would make her happy.
Oh my.
Luz gets up. She stumbles. And then she walks into the huge space that is the darkness of Morpheus's robe. And she is gone.
Murphy's peace be with you, Luz. If he has peace to give.
As you were made, so you are now unmade.
Wow! What is this?
A procession of dream creatures marches from the land towards them, like characters from a child's storybook. Hundreds of them, walking and marching, some of them dancing, all down the causeway toward the Isle of Thorns. There are giants and centaurs and witches and fauns, bears and trolls, even a handful of giant spiders. Barbie sees Wilkinson and Pranado walking together. They wave when they see her.
Don't worry about us, princess.
It's a long way to Tipperary and I swim.
They walk past her, the living and the dead, and one by one they vanish into the towering folds of Dream's cloak. More and more join the procession. Different, wonderful characters. Soldiers and courtiers, youngest sons and cats in boots. These weren't the inhabitants of Barbie's land. These are someone else's people. Some earlier princesses escaped from reality. Has Morpheus become huge? Or do they become tiny as they reach him? Do such concepts even apply? The last one is the saddest. She is magnificent. The woman has extremely long black hair. She's wearing a simple white dress. She has a scar across her cheek. Morpheus watches her approach with his arms folded across his chest. She looks very proud and very sad. And when she gets to Morpheus, she hesitates.
I am here, Eleonora, by the terms of the compact.
I see. And what now?
Now, it ends.
How long has it been?
A long time, old love. Your land has been home to many since your day.
So be it.
She curtsies to him. He bows to her, and she is gone. All sense of scale now seems lost as Morpheus reaches out an upturned palm in a sweeping gesture. He reaches out his hand and picks up the land.
What?
Barbie cannot comprehend the change in scale. The landscape that was all around them is now a little jeweled world in his hand. It doesn't matter that it is tiny. She can see everything. And then it crumbles to dust, a glittering multicolored sand that blows away from his palm in the chilly wind at the end of the world. The Isle of Thorns is all that's left of the land which once surrounded them. There's no sea, no sky. It's just the island. Floating in the middle of nothing, a chill wind blowing. Morpheus, human-sized again, if ever he was a giant, turns back to the four women and the cuckoo. He looks very tired, very alone. Barbie feels sorry for him, but she doesn't know why.
Are you okay?
Endings are mixed blessings, Princess Barbara. But yes, I am okay. Thank you for asking. Now I must speak with your compatriots. There. Half the compact is discharged. Now, I wonder if you three know the trouble you've caused.
Morpheus looks at Thessaly. One eyebrow lifts.
I know you, do I not?
I don't believe so.
I do. Yes. We have met before, Witch Woman.
It was a long time ago, Dream King. I'm surprised you remember.
There were more of you then.
Yes, now it's only me.
Why aren't you dead?
Oh, look, don't you start. It's a long story and I don't really want to go into it.
I see.
Dream King, that one there is my legitimate prey, she who calls herself the Cuckoo. She attempted to harm me. Her life is mine.
No, her life is her own.
She would have harmed me, Morpheus. I demand my rights.
You demand, Thessalian? The moon has tumbled into the sea in this place. It cannot take you or your followers back to the waking world. You are a trespasser here without my consent. I am very displeased.
What's he saying, Thess?
I am saying, young lady, that you are here entirely...
He's saying we're in trouble.
Real trouble?
Yes, real trouble.
New York City, 6 a.m. The tongue in George's face, hanging nailed to the wall of his apartment, begins to move again.
Miss Wanda?
Hi, George. You're talking again, then?
You make him hold his tongue, lady. He ain't a natural thing.
If she wanted me to hold my tongue, then she'd have to do it for me because I don't have any hands. That's kind of my sort of joke.
That's right, George. It differs from the usual kind of joke, only in the vast gulf between it and any kind of sense of humor. So, what's happening?
If you're gonna be mean to me, I won't tell you.
I'm sorry, George. Tell us what?
Well, about the really heavy stuff. It's all really getting bad now.
Barbie?
I can't feel the land anymore, or the cuckoo. It's all moved away.
What about Barbie? And Fox? And Hazel?
Maybe they're dead. I don't really know. They've gone.
Jesus wept. Yeah, that's bad stuff, all right.
Your friend having nightmares here?
That's not the really bad stuff. The really bad stuff is the storm. It's not just a storm anymore. And this is a pretty old building.
George, what are you trying to say?
Lady!
What the fuck?
This whole place is coming down!